You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE, after a day off, has opened its doors for another day. Two more days to go. Should be quite quiet. But on the other hand, the US Federal Reserve did intervene last night in international markets. Will that boost volume on the JSE? Will it boost interest on the JSE? We'll find out now with Skalk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, and this is the opening. It was interesting what was said last night, Skalk. Before I launch into what I thought, tell me what you thought.
Yeah, I think that was quite a bit of a surprise. Definitely caught the market unaware. If we look at what the after effects were, I mean, we're going to jump to the end. I mean, it's when the Fed actually, when they started to talk, I mean, the 10-year yield was trading around about 1.48. And as they concluded the meeting, it was trading 1.58. You know, gold was trading around about the 1860 levels. And when they finished, it was close to the 1810 levels. Dollar index, I mean, that picked up. So, you know, what was said and I think what will happen, you know, going forward. I mean, you won't have, you know, so firstly, let's say the surprise. Surprise is they definitely turned a lot more hawkish.
Yes, they did.
Definitely. I mean, that's a sort of a, I don't want to call it a 360, but I mean, there's definitely a 180 in terms of optimism. So they definitely turned a little bit more hawkish, you know, stating that they actually see two rate hikes, you know, by the end of 2023. So when this will start, that's the big question. I think, you know, looking at the surprise, it's just more the surprise that I don't think people were expecting the announcement yesterday. But looking at the inflation figures that came out, you know, this month and also last month, there's definitely reason for this hawkishness. There's definitely a reason why they should be you know, telling the typical American, you need to be cautious, because currently as it stands, you know, our unemployment is not really, you know, reacting the way it should be doing. Yes, the GDP, and just touch on the GDP, you know, when they chatted in March, the forecast were that we were looking at about a 6.5% GDP growth in the U.S. for 2021. Now, they've increased that yesterday. They see a growth of 7%, but I think more importantly, when they looked at 2021, they left it unchanged at 3.3%. Now, if you pump in this amount of money and you want to really stimulate the economy, I think we will need to see the GDP levels pick up a lot harder. We need to see the unemployment levels come down a lot harder as well. And we need to see inflation remain intact. And that's not there yet. We know we've chatted about inflation. Inflation picked up twice, much stronger than we did. You know, unemployment, you know, it's still not looking healthy. So, yeah, I think what's next? I think that's the big question.
Well, what I got out of it, Skalk, was that, first of all, the word transitory was pushed aside somewhat, and I think that they've sat down and done their numbers and had a look at things like, for example, the bottlenecks at all the major ports in the world. In other words, first of all, you can't get your goods off. Once you get your goods off, you can't find a truck to take them there, and there's to your destination. And there are various reasons for that. COVID is one of them, but also just the sheer volume that's going through there. And somebody said, look, last month I was paying $3,000 per container for a trip. I'm now having to pay anything between $10,000 and $15,000. And he said that, let's say that the average value of the goods in that container is $200,000 to $300,000. An extra $10,000 to $12,000 makes a material difference to your margins and also to inflation. So there was that. And also he said, as you said, we've got to get unemployment and inflation under control. Now, they're two opposing forces. You've got to stimulate to get employment, and you've got to tighten to keep inflation in check. So it's very, very difficult. And I think the market senses that.
Undoubtedly. I think that was the reaction. I mean, we look at the markets after the reaction immediately, you know, as the announcement was made, was negative. And then as the announcement, you know, concluded, we did see a slight pickup in the US markets afterwards. But just to see that let's call it the final 10, 15 minutes really reacting negatively again. And then we're seeing it this morning. I mean, from the East, we did see a negative market. You know, our market locally is looking very similar. But I think just to get back to your point on the US, I still want to see. I want to hear what Powell is going to say next, because I think this is going to get interesting. This is where I do think, because Powell don't need hawkishness now. So I think they might downplay this hawkishness very soon, stating that, yes, just note that we are looking at inflation. We always combat that. You know, we've heard Janet Yellen said on Sunday, last Sunday, that she doesn't necessarily think that a high interest rate will be bad for the U.S. We know that that sort of is wordplay for don't worry, all here, this will be fine. I don't think that's the case, Lindsay. I think I do think that this is a very, very highly strung economy. Debt levels is extremely high. You need people to go and try and find jobs. This is the whole objective of this stimulus. And I don't think it's having the effect. I mean, it's not having the effect. If you're going to, you know, send somebody a check in the post stating that if you don't earn, you know, X or higher, then you qualify for this check, then people won't go out to try and find jobs. So
yes,
I think that's going to be an interesting one. I'm going to be really focused on a few things in the next few weeks. I know today we'll be waiting for jobless claims again later today. Initial jobless claims, so that'll be interesting just to see what that looks like. I'm definitely gonna in the next month. I want to see what the inflation look like, GDP figures, and I want to hear what Powell said, because I do think that Powell will speak in the next few days, and I think that might give maybe just a don't worry, we're hawkish, but we've got our inflation that it don't. Then run out of control, but just note that, you know, everything is fine.
I think he's changed his tack. I think that's what the market has suddenly realised. And although he's not saying, right, we're going to raise rates this year, the fact that he said we're going to raise them sooner, talked about two hikes in 2023. But I do think there's a wild card out there. And if inflation keeps on running, then they may have to just put a shot across the bows of the bond traders and everybody else and raise earlier than that. Let's have a look at the market reaction. 14.03 is the dollar rand. Don't forget that was in the 13.40s a couple of weeks ago. British pound against the rand, 1961. Euro rand is 16.77. And the euro dollar, obviously a stronger dollar after last night, 1.1950. And that has knocked commodity prices, particularly gold, which on my screen in 24 hours has fallen $45 an ounce to 1,810. The platinum price is, as I scroll down, platinum is 11.18, down $30 an ounce, or 2.6%. And palladium, where's that, please, Skulk?
Yeah, also down 1.2% for the day, currently trading $2,766.
Okay, well, I'm getting up the oil price, which is obviously all important in the inflation equation. Down 0.5% for the West Texas, which is exactly 71.77. And Brent crude oil has fallen below 74. Can't believe I'm actually saying that. $73.96, which is down 0.6%. Bitcoin, it's been all over the place in the last couple of days. It's 39,349, which is down 2%, but was in the 38s earlier this morning. The CRB commodity index has remained more or less unchanged at 223 and a third. The US 10-year yield, all important US 10-year, 156 and a bit at the moment. And S&P futures, yeah, 42.58 earlier this week, just a couple of days ago, now below 4,200, 41.99, a third of a percent down overnight. What about the JSE this morning, Skulk? I imagine there's not much on the Stock Exchange News Service.
Well, okay, so yeah, news service-wise, there's only two announcements. One was we missed yesterday with the close, so Impact yesterday came out, and they just had a voluntary business update. That's basically Impact's the old Mondi packaging,
yes.
And they just said for the update, well, it's basically a five-month update ended 31st of May. Very, very short and sweet one, but it just comes down that I think most important thing that they are, you know, their business, plastics and paper business, is basically back to, and exceeding pre-pandemic levels. Now, we've often had this chat, Lindsay, where we said, you know, I think the new normal is something where there's a take-a-lot van or a Mr. Delivery van or something standing outside of your gate delivering you all these goods you usually went out in the do shopping center and bought. And most of these goods find itself either in a box or, you know, bubble wrap or something like that. And this is where, you know, companies like Impact has really, really, you know, it basically impacted them, pun intended. So, yeah, it does seem that the headlines earnings per share is going to look, you know, very, very good. They're talking about HEPS for the six-month period ended 30 June are expected to be more than 90 cents per share. And that's from last year, June's levels of 8.4 cents per share. And then other one this morning, we also had Imperial Logistics. Imperial Logistics just said this morning that they were informing shareholders that they entered into an agreement to acquire 100% of the issued share capital of Deep Catch Namibia Holdings. And that deal should works out to be a deal of about 633 million rand. Market definitely liked it. It's not a massive deal, you know, 633 million in Imperial's, you know, world. I don't think it's that big, but naturally that's a positive. And 3.59% or 3.6% up for Imperial this morning. And then market-wise, it's slow. I mean, we had an initial opening this morning that was a lot weaker, but currently the JSE All Share is down 0.6%. And I think that is mainly due to the rand that's looking a lot weaker.
So, yes, it is. I mean, it had to happen at some stage, of course. But let's go through the top five up and down before you give us the indices, Skalk. As you know, I've got a 15-minute delayed screen, and I've got the mixed bunch. Textainer up 4.75%, Bidcorp up nearly 2%, Motus up 1.5%, Quilter up just over 1%, and so is Mondi PLC, talking of Mondi earlier on in its spin-off Impact. On the downside, it's all diggers and mostly golds. Goldfields down 5.4%, Harmony down 3.75%, Anglo Gold Ashanti 3.2% down, Kumba Iron all weighing in with a 2.9% loss, and DRD Gold has fallen by 2.75%. Yeah, it looks a bit patchy, but we'll see what plays out post-Powell. Okay, JSE indices, please, Skalk, after nearly 40 minutes of trading.
Lindsay, I'm going to try and get us back up because JSE just I'm basically getting the update on the JSE All Share, but let's see if it pops up now in any second. But
okay,
as it currently stands, as I mentioned, the JSE All Share is currently trading at 66,923 points. That is down 0.57%. Oh, there we go. So the update is there. That's when we look at the movement in the market. Top 40 stocks has been hit the hardest, you know, 77 basis points down. When we look at the mid-caps is looking fairly good, 37 basis points down. Small caps, 40 basis points down. As you mentioned, diggers really digging into that resource index this morning. That is down 1.8%. Industrials down 14 basis points and financials down 35 basis points.
Okay, great stuff. Skalk, thanks so much for your analysis this morning. I know you're in Onrus. I know that today it's going to be much more interesting doing what you sketched out before we came on air, i.e. having a glass of something and watching the whales. It'll probably be more exciting than what's happening on the JSE, but you never know. That's Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, and that was the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.